I want to welcome you this morning and welcome those who are watching by live stream. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. Is God good to you?
Yes.
Do you really mean that?
Yes.
Do you see His hand in your life and do you know that His blessings are upon you and upon your life? Even in times of trial and struggle, He's there. He's faithful. Amen. He's a good Father. Good, good Father. Turn with me, first of all, to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to be bringing a series of messages in the next few weeks, and they're going to be upon a very familiar passage of Scripture, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Time for every purpose. Time for every purpose. And I want us to read through the Scripture, 1 through 8. To everything there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. As I said, this is going to be a series and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to do. But today we will be in Genesis in a few moments, but we are simply going to be settling in upon verse 1 of chapter 3 to lay a foundation, to bring forth one aspect of this subject this morning and to lay a foundation from which this will be like a little pond here, verse 1, and we're going to dip into it and go out of it numerous times in the weeks ahead in order to find enlightenment and illumination in the other verses in this passage of Scripture. To everything, there is a season. To everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Every purpose under heaven has been ordained with a time for that purpose. Beloved, I want you to listen closely to me for a moment because this morning's message will give you some idea of the importance of the timing of God and waiting upon the time of God, the timing of God in your life. Because though every purpose has a timing, that tells us that there are good purposes that have not been ordained yet for this particular moment. Amen? If there's a timing for every purpose, and we're talking about the good purposes of God, the purposes that are ordained for our lives, if every time has a purpose, or every purpose has a time, that also goes to say and speaks to us this morning that right now there may be many, many purposes that God has, but it may not be the season. It may not be the time in your life. And we live in expectation of God's timings in our life because we are believers. Because we're believers, we believe that God intervenes and interacts in our life, right? Amen? We believe He's a personal God and that there is interaction between God's kingdom, God's realm, and the realm in which we are living all of the time as we go through our life. He is performing things. He is drawing us into His seasons and timings for the things that He wants to do in our life. This may speak of great and mighty things like the cross of Calvary. This we'll see in a moment. It may speak of little daily moments in your life that we will be talking about also where God unexpectedly intersects the time and space in which you find yourself in that moment in order to bring to bear His goodness, His presence, and His blessings into your life. Our measurements of time have been ordained by God. I want us to take a moment to think about time. Time as we know it. Our measurements of time that have been ordained by God are the result of the earth's rotation around the sun. If you think about this for a moment, all of our measurements of time go back to this one thing. The rotation of the earth around the sun and the sun through the solar system, the movement of the heavenly bodies, the movement of the moon around the earth. All of these things, the Bible says God created them. If we go back and read about it in creation, He says, and it is good. And He put those things into place, it says in Genesis, for times and seasons. For times and seasons. Every rotation of the earth around the sun, as the earth goes around the sun, every location on earth finds an allotted time in every day, in every 24-hour period. Every location on the earth finds some time that it faces the sun and calls that time day. There are seasons as we go around the sun. The four seasons of the year have to do with the tilting of the earth on its axis as it revolves and as it goes around the sun. Each segment as the earth goes around the sun, requiring a specific amount of time to be called day and night. And so as a result, our earth and our time is divided into 24-hour periods called day and night. And there are 24 time zones that are a result of this. As we go around the sun, as we turn the earth, it's divided into 24 time zones, one for every hour. Four located in the United States, the Eastern, the Central, the Mountain, and the Pacific time zones. To interact with someone in some other time zone can be a trying thing at times. Would you agree? Amen. You ever had a friend that lived in London or the Middle East or some other country and they would call you perhaps at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking that it was the same time for you, that it was daytime, just because we do it without thinking. If you're going to have proper interactions, especially in business, our son Jimmy deals with people in different time zones, with the different locations of their business, of their company. And so he is always on having meetings with these people, you know, for working remotely in different locations. We live in a time when so many people are working remotely around the world. And how critical it is, if you're going to accomplish anything, that you be in proper sync with their time zone. Because their time zone is not your time zone. And what they're doing at one time will be different from what you're doing at the same time in your time zone, which is a different time zone from their time zone. If you want to be successful in that endeavor, and I'm speaking of business here for a moment, with someone in a different time zone, you have to wait for their time zone to correspond in a way of convenience with yours, and we call it an opportune time. I've said all of that to bring that little phrase to the forefront. I want you to remember it. An opportune time. Time, again, is divided into these zones and these times, but then there are times that are opportune. There are times that are specifically ordained for certain things that we do. Important times, times where things take place that affect our lives and that change the direction of people's lives. Opportune times. If you don't schedule accordingly, there will be missed opportunities. If you schedule the time wrong and you don't consider the other person's time zone, then you're going to perhaps miss them because they're sleeping. Or you're going to miss that critical meeting that the company wants to have because it wasn't scheduled at a time where you would be awake and available. It's not an opportune time for you at 2 o'clock in the morning. Miss deadlines because of time zones that are not properly synced together. Missed relationships. Missed opportunities. It's extremely important in today's world. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to allow me just the liberty to use this as an illustration for a few moments as we talk about time in God's kingdom, biblical time, and time in the Spirit, time in the things of God in your own life. It is like this subject of time zones. And God is in one time zone, and we're all in different time zones. And there are things that are scheduled in our lives that have to sync with God's time zone if they're ever going to come to pass. Understanding and appreciating God's time zones, the proper time, the opportune times that God has ordained is critical. In your walk with the Lord, this is totally different. What we're doing today with what we have been doing recently. And so the season that you're in your life, your season must be a time that if you want to be receiving, when I say things, I'm not necessarily talking about materialism here. Our walk with God is a walk where we desire to receive things from God. How many of you could argue with that? Amen. Do you want to receive something from God? I mean, if He is the giver of everything, would you not want to receive what He has for you in this season in your life, in this time zone in which you find yourself? And God has ordained certain things for you, certain revelations of understanding of the Word of God, certain things that He wants to reveal into your life in order to help you to be the person that He has called you to be. Your season is a time of receiving something from God, and it's vital, and it requires being in sync with God's time zone. With God's time zone. If you miss this, you may do some very good things. I'm going to go straight to an illustration in Scripture in a few moments, and you'll understand I'm not off on some strange tangent. Understand and just follow with me for a moment. This is all the way through the Word of God, how critical this is. That if you want to be in line with what God is wanting to do in your life, if you want to receive good things from God, and if you want to do the servanthood work that He has called you to do, some of you are studying and desiring and working towards doing something where you are serving God in some way. If you miss this element, if you miss this critical point, you will find yourself able to do many, many good things. You may do many good things for the Lord, but it may not be in the right timing of the Lord. What a tragedy to find that so much of your work for the Lord was done out of the timing of the Lord, and it wasn't what He was calling you to do in the particular season in which you were moving. Amen? If God's got a particular season for you and a time zone, a time element for you, where He has ordained something and He's called you to wait, and He's called you to wait patiently on the Lord, and that He will accomplish what He wants to accomplish in your life, then how dangerous it is if we run out and we establish some great work, or we go out and we serve the poor, or we go out, whatever it is, and we spend all of our time doing that and all of our energy doing that, and we miss the thing that God had ordained for the time in which we were moving. So let's talk for a moment about biblical time. Biblical time. In order to understand this better, in the Bible there are two Greek words used in the New Testament that give illumination to God's concept of time and what He speaks to us in His Word. When we understand that the English may say time in many places, but in the Greek there are two different words that are used that convey two different meanings. There are actually other words also for time, but there are two primary ones that give great, great light upon this aspect of our lives that I'm talking about. Two Greek words. One is chronos, C-H-R-O-N-O-S, chronos. And the other is kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. Chronos and kairos. You're going to know those words backwards and forward in a few moments and in the weeks ahead. Two Greek words used to mean time in the Bible. Chronos, kairos. Chronos, from which we derive the word chronology. Think for a moment about the chronology of your life. What is the chronology of your life? Think about the major events from birth, first grade, each grade, first love perhaps, puppy love, marriage, birthdays along the way, major events, tragedies, losses. All of these are part of the chronology, the chronos times of your life, because we live in chronos time. The Bible speaks of this particular time, chronos time. It is measured time. It's what I began with this morning when I spoke of the time zones and the planets. It is measured time. It is time that right now, let's just be very silent for a moment. During this moment, time is ticking away and we can't ever get 1 second of it back. Time. Chronos time, time that moves forward throughout the ages. Created time, because God exists outside of this chronological time. He created it for man and for history. God is a God who is timeless. And outside of this chronological time is eternity, which is infinite. What we call the past, infinite in the past, but the past has no beginning with God. It's infinite. And the future has no ending with God. It is infinite. And for God, every single moment of it is present. He is equally in the past as He is in the present. And in the future as He is in the past. At any moment, His eyes can rest upon creation and upon the future transformation of this world when Jesus returns. Chronos, chronology, measured time, ticking time, quantitative time, the forward propelling time that we measure with clocks. It's the time that for some reason, you have to be at least over 40, I would think, or 50, to understand this and to give testimony to it. But even though it is measured and it's equal and it's perfect in its creation by God, it seems to speed up for us the older we get. As it ticks away and it passes away, the years seem to rush by where once they dragged and they lagged. Now it seems to go faster and faster. These are all aspects of chronological, chronos time. Created by God and measured by His creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars as they move in perfect harmony. Chronos time. The second aspect of time, though, that many people never think of or know about, even are aware of, is kairos time. Kairos, K-A-I-R-O-S. This is specific. God-ordained time, moments in time, specific God-ordained time when His purposes intersect with our lives. When His purposes intersect with our lives, with our Chronos time. We live in Chronos. God interrupts Chronos and brings about times in which something specific happens, a specific moment or season in time, when God acts and brings to bear something so different, so supernatural, that it operates in a different way upon our lives than the way Chronos time operates. These are different times in the Bible that are explained in different ways, but there are different phrases. This may be an anointed time, an anointed season. It certainly is what I spoke of earlier. It's an opportune time, and we will see that again. It is an opportune time. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. In the fullness of time, that is an opportune time. That is a Kairos time. That is a time when God split Chronos time in two and inserted His Son into history. It's a supernatural time. It's a time that changes things. We live as believers looking for those Kairos moments in which God has something to say to us, something to do, a prayer to answer, something that He wants to accomplish, a call from God, some particular task or something that He opens and unfolds to us that changes the entire day for us, and we are suddenly unaware of Chronos time. We forget Chronos time because we're caught up in Kairos, eternal time with God. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. These are strategic times. Kairos times are strategic times. It's always a right time. Kairos time is never a wrong time when it's God. Now we'll see the enemy also operates in a Kairos time that is evil. We'll understand that later. But God's timing for a thing is the Kairos time. And you can go through the New Testament and you'll see the word time. If you look up the original, it's either Kairos or Chronos usually. Kairos times are weighty. They carry great purpose. They elevate your thoughts, your mind. They lift your heart, your spirits. They can be life-changing moments with the Lord. They can be revelations, something as simple as God unfolding and unveiling something in His Word to you that gives it great power as that Word comes into your life so that it means something that is transformative in your life. Kairos moments feed your soul. It's those times when you know that you've stepped out of time into eternity, out of Chronos time, into God's time. You're in His presence, or you're in His purpose, and you know that you're in His purpose. And life takes on a new dimension than what it did before. Bible says that we are in this world, but we are not of this world, right? We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Likewise, we live in Chronos time, but we are not of Chronos time. We live for Kairos time. Are you guys following me? We are living in Chronos time, but we long for those moments when God intervenes. Kairos time. Strategic time, fullness of time, special time, anointed time. Moments when God intersects with Chronos time, with our existence, and He brings eternity to bear upon our lives, and He lifts us out of Chronos, and we lose track of Chronos because God is with us. bringing Kairos time to bear on our life. To every season, to everything there is a season, a time, a Kairos time, for every purpose under heaven. Kairos time is when our lives in our time zones line up with God's time zone. His purpose becomes clear. And we may have promises from God, and we may live in the expectation of Kairos. We may be expecting Him. We may be praying for it. We may be longing for something, and we're saying, God, would you move? God, will you act in this? And we know that it's real, and we long for it, and we're waiting for it. Chronological time can be measured. It's always the same. It's always perfect according to God's creation. But Kairos time, the exact time of that Kairos thing that we're longing for, seldom is that ever revealed to us when exactly it will happen. Right? How many of you have prayed and you felt like God gave you a promise and you prayed and you thought it would happen this month and it didn't happen this month and you prayed six more months? You thought it would happen then, and God even reconfirmed that thing to you, and you knew it was God. You know it's His promise. You know it's something that He's given you in His Word. It's going to be a great Kairos moment when it happens, because it's going to be God intersecting with your life, but you just don't know the moment. No man knows the moment. No man knows the hour or the day that Jesus will return, right?
Right.
Nobody knows that Kairos moment. It's a fullness of time moment, but we don't know the exact moment, but we know to wait upon it, don't we? We know to look for it and to live in expectation of it. No man knows those moments, those Kairos moments that are going to happen and that do happen in your life. You don't know the exact moment they're going to happen. Sometimes it can be so frustrating. But we're called to wait. To wait. The secret things of God are Kairos things. Things that we don't fully understand or grasp many times, and that aren't fully revealed to us. But we live. If you're a believer, oh, you miss the joy of the Christian life if you're not living in expectation. Kairos times. God's provision for you is a Kairos thing. You don't always know when it's going to come or how it's going to come. You just know that God has promised to take care of you, and the bills are piling up and you don't know what you're going to do, but He's told you not to fret. He's told you not to worry. He's told you to wait, because even the birds are clothed by God and taken care of by Him, and the flowers of the field. Why do you worry? He says, wait on the Lord for that Kairos provision that He will give. We don't know exactly when. We don't know the day nor the hour, but guess what? It's never late. Kairos moments are never late. God may seem to be late, but He's never late. He's always in the nick of time. Amen. The Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, in Isaiah 40:31, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. There are many promises in the Word of God about waiting upon the Lord, because you don't know the moment. You don't know the hour. You just know that Kairos moments are tied up in the promises of God for your life. Patience. Patience is necessary. If we're going to live in God's Kairos timings, patience to wait upon the Lord. To wait. How many times have you believed that God wanted to do something and you were waiting on the Lord, and you either gave up and went some other direction and forgot about it, or you tried to make it happen? You tried to find a way to fix that particular thing that you had been waiting on God to fix it. God had promised in His Word to fix these things. There are things that only God can fix, and yet for some reason we are so stubborn we think that we can fix it, and we get in and we start messing things up because we try to fix things, especially other people. We can't fix other people. Only God can do that, and it's only in His timings. We grieve because other people aren't fixed when we think they ought to be fixed. We grieve when our children aren't fixed when we think they ought to be fixed. We're all broken because of Adam and Eve and the sin nature that we've inherited. But we think that where it took us 20 years to get fixed by the Lord, we think that somehow our loved ones are supposed to be fixed by the time they're grown. And they have to come through God's grace in His timing. In His perfect timing, we try to fix other people's lives, and we can't fix other people's lives.
No.
And there's no peace. When we start messing with God's Kairos timing, there's no peace for us in our hearts.
No.
Because we try to take the place of the Lord. Abraham did this in Genesis chapter 15. We're not reading all the background for the sake of time. I'm trusting that you know basically the story of Abram, who becomes Abraham. God has promised to make a covenant with him, and Abram has begun to doubt. Abram goes before God, and he has a servant named Eliezer, and he doesn't have any children, and his wife is barren, and he says to the Lord, you know, how am I going to ever have an heir to carry on my lineage, an heir in my household? Eliezer is my servant. That's all I have. And God tells him it's not going to be Eliezer. Look at verse 4 of chapter 15 of Genesis. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. So immediately, Abram is challenged by God to believe something that in the natural is impossible. To believe something that requires faith and that requires waiting, trusting God. When your eyes see only the opposite of what you're waiting for. And yet God says, wait, believe. He had received this amazing promise from God that an heir would come from his own body, even though he and Sarai at the time, had never been able to bear children or to have children. And so if we were to continue reading, this detailed story follows. And we find that in Abram's impatience and Sarah's impatience, as she instigates this thing, they decide to help God along. You remember the story. Their eyes were on their, I want us to look at the heart of it. Their eyes were on their circumstances in Chronos time. Chronos time has been ticking away. It's measured. They can't get it back. They can't get their youth back. And the experience of Sarah is that she has never been able to conceive a child. And they decide to help God along, rather than to wait on God's promise to intervene in Kairos time. So at the age of 86 years of age, Ishmael was born to Abram and Hagar through a fleshly decision. They have decided that they will bring this thing to pass, and it's through Abram conceiving or going in with Hagar, the maidservant of Sarah, and producing a child. So Hagar conceives and she brings forth a son, and his name is Ishmael. And Sarah and Abram think this must be what God promised. This is the son. Now I have an heir. Now they have tried to make this thing happen. They've stepped into the realm of what only God can do and what God has promised to do. And they've tried to fix something that was broken, but it was not the timing of God nor the way of God that they chose. Look at Genesis chapter 16, verses 11 and 12. This is during the pregnancy of Hagar. And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction." God shows his mercy, even in that, and allows her to conceive. "He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man." This isn't what Abram and Sarah want to hear. "His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." You see, in this, God is making a provision for Hagar, but not for Abram. Abram has been promised a specific son that will happen in a specific Kairos time, the timing of God. And they have tried to intervene and bring this thing to pass outside of the timing of God. And God rejects Ishmael as the heir of Abram, even though he is the firstborn. Rejects him as the heir of Abram. God has ordained a Kairos intervention in the life of Abram and Sarah. And instead they have intervened in a way that God had not planned. God has supplied many promises for us in our life in which he expects us to wait. I believe that some of you right now know that there's something that God one day at some time has promised and desires to do in your life. There are plenty of things that we find in his word that he promises to do. But it's not necessarily the moment right now. Kairos time. And are you willing to wait patiently upon the Lord for the great thing that God wants to do? Or do you want to settle for something less than what God wants to do by doing something in your own strength? And so God rejects Ishmael as the promised one. Ishmael is, as we read the story, we find that Ishmael becomes a source of great conflict and sorrow in this family, and is still a source of conflict and sorrow in the earth today. His descendants are the source of the troubles that we find in the Middle East today, in the Arab nations. Maybe you're waiting. Maybe you're waiting on some promise from God, and you may try to bring it to pass yourself. So I'm going to give you a warning. What you create outside of God's Kairos time, what you create will become a thorn in your side. What you create will become a source of conflict. What you create, God may give you grace to bear, just like he did Abram and Sarah. But it will still be something out of season, and it will bring about problems that would not have been there if you had simply waited upon the Lord. We call this creating an Ishmael. You don't want to create an Ishmael in your life. Creating an Ishmael is any time that you try to do something in your own strength that maybe God has even promised you, but it's not the timing of God, and it's not what God has said. You've not waited upon the Lord for specific direction or for him to intervene in his own special way. And so the thing that you have created is outside of the timing of God. It's also outside of the will of God. After Ishmael is born, God is silent for some 14, 15 years to Abram and Sarah. There's a long period of silence because God has said all he's going to say. You know, when God says something, he doesn't have to keep elaborating on it. And if we choose to go against it, sometimes there's a period of silence and waiting. And it's a time for us to adjust and decide, do I trust God even in this time of silence? To understand God has not forsaken me, but he wants me to believe what he's already spoken into my life. And so in chapter 16, verse 16, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram, but then go straight to verse 1 of chapter 17 when Abram was 99 years old. So all of these years have gone by. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Go down to verse 6. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. He goes on and tells him, Sarah will conceive, will bear a son. If you wait on the Lord, God will always bring to pass whatever he has promised in your life. But it will be in the fullness of time. It will be in his kairos moment of time. It will not be in a moment of chronos time that you decided ahead of time. I think that next September we should go do thus and so, because I think that that must be what God meant when he said such and such. You wait. If it's 15 years, you wait on the timing of the Lord. They had tried to do something not only the wrong way, but by not waiting and being in tune with God's time, his time zone, his moment. Waiting, as we just read, requires faith. Requires faith. Because God has repeated it, and now Abram can do nothing but either believe it or not. Abram is the father of faith in the word of God, and he believes God. Bible says that when he believes God, God calls him righteous simply because he believes God. Think about the things he's done wrong. He had done some things wrong in his life. He had gone places God didn't tell him to do. He had done things out of the timing of God. And now he's done this thing with Ishmael, slept with the handmaiden and produced a son that God never intended. And God does not say, oh, you unrighteous, filthy man, you. When God reiterates the promise, Abram believes God. And the New Testament says, Abram believed God and God counted it as righteousness. And it's the same thing for you and I. We're called to believe God and he wipes our slate clean and calls us righteous. Righteous before God. The promise was fulfilled in God's season in Abraham and Sarah's life. Because to everything there is a season and there is a purpose for everything under heaven. A time. Kairos time. For every purpose under heaven. In the weeks ahead, we're going to see the principle play out in this passage of scripture in Ecclesiastes. Because you, as you read through that passage of scripture, you see that just in the ordinary reading of that passage of scripture, in the first reading of it, it talks about the chronos events of life. In every life, there's a time to plant. There's a time to sow. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to weep. There's a time to kill. There's a time to heal. all of these things, but we're going to go through and we're going to see those things in Kairos time, in God's spirit, spiritual realm and his timing. What does it mean that God says there's a time to laugh and to weep? What does it mean that God says there's a time to plant and a time to pluck and a time to build and a time to tear down? And we're going to work our way through that. And so there is a time in your life for the things of God to come to pass. Whatever that thing is that you're waiting on right now, that you're believing God for, wait on the Lord, and it shall come to pass. So as we see, the promise was fulfilled in Abraham and Sarah's life, and it will be fulfilled also in your life. The seasons that are listed in Ecclesiastes, as I said, we're going to see them in that same way as they come to be fulfilled in different places in the Word of God in Kairos time. As the omniscient, omnipresent deity, that means God who is always present everywhere and who is all-knowing, God is not bound by the confines of space or time. That's why he just intervenes and flows into our chronos time, our existence, when we least expect him. See, Kairos moments sometimes happen that you didn't plan and you weren't waiting for. They're just the unexpected blessings of God come in our life. When we ask for something right away, it might not always come. Or when we don't ask at all, then something may come. But he comes, he shows up in our time. It can be frustrating. Listen to this. It can be frustrating with the Lord. One day is 1,000 years. That's frustrating. It can also be a great surprise when you see that 1,000 years is as one day. And things that maybe you thought would take forever, suddenly God does it. Things that you thought would be quick sometimes are very slow. We should always live our days looking for those moments, those unexplainable times when his will and his way intersects the chronos time in which we live. And it can be little things. A friend calls you and has a word from the Lord that encourages you because you're down. And it lifts your spirits because you know that God heard you. And it changes the whole face of your day, the atmosphere of your day. That's a Kairos moment. The joy of listening to the children laughing and playing, even though you're tired and you're worn out, but suddenly there's something that just God opens your ears and you realize and you see what he's doing in their lives and it lifts your day and it changes you. A coworker takes a moment unexpectedly to lend a hand and to help you with something that you're struggling with. God is always surprising us. We don't always see it. There are many Kairos moments that slip by us, and we don't even recognize God's hand. So this morning, to prepare for the messages that are to come, I just want to bring to bear and outline this thought that whatever the things are that God has ordained for your life, they are in his timing. Wait upon the Lord. Wait for them and don't give up. Don't wait in despair. Wait in faith. Wait with hope. Wait with belief that God is still going to do what you believed that he was going to do. Wait upon the timing of the Lord. Let it be God. Don't let it be something that you put your hand into and messed it up because you tried to bring it to pass when it wasn't God's timing. Let God fix other people that you can't fix. Let it be the Kairos moment of God in their lives. Recognize starting today that there's a difference between Chronos time. There's a difference between just time and God's timing. God's timing, the Bible says, is perfect. And he's perfect in all his ways. Amen.